Tonight, actor and comedian and Mr. T's daughter, Erica Nicole Clark, stops by the Showcase studio. Then later, we'll talk Chicago sports with Mark Carmen. And finally, comedian Tim Slagle closes our broadcast. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I've never felt more like a mom than sitting in the studio when there are wind chills below zero, watching people walk by without hats or scarves or gloves. I just want to go out there and be like, who dressed you this morning? It is cold out here.
Don't be stupid.
I saw a kid leaving the Sketchfest on Sunday when it was even colder, and he just had like a cloak or something, like just a wide scarf. And I was like, it was our friend Cody Melcher, who we'd had in the studio. And he's like, I drove here. Like, that answered everything. Like, he was like, well, I'm just going to my car, and then I'm just going to my apartment. I would like to show him some footage of what happened to some people on Lakeshore Drive a few years ago when they were just going to their cars and just driving home. Anything can happen, my friends. I have a go bag in my jean jacket.
Plus, cars are cold.
You mean all those outside? People who were told to stay off Lakeshore Drive
those
prior
people.
To getting on the drive during that snowstorm?
Those
people?
Skilling said at 2:30
those
p.m.
Roger Badishes.
Oh, Roger. But I don't think, I bet you Roger wasn't completely unprepared. I bet you he was at least dressed for the temperature. For
yeah.
the conditions.
He probably had granola in the glove box ready to go.
Exactly. I talked to a woman because I was doing material about this for a while, and one woman came up to me and said that she was one of the people on Lakeshore Drive, and she had just come from the grocery store. She'd gone to the grocery store to get supplies to hunker down for the storm and got trapped on Lakeshore Drive. So she was fortunate enough to have access to all the food. Like, she'd bought one of those chickens, you know, the ones that are... The fryers. What are they?
Rotisserie chicken.
Thank you. The rotisserie chickens. But I wish I hadn't asked her too many questions because I found out more information that I needed that I won't go into with you. But how she took care of herself. But anyway, what I'm saying is, in weather like this, take care of yourself. I don't know why it bothers me. You know what? Live and let die of pneumonia is what I say. Live and let die of pneumonia. Esmeralda, you dress well for this weather, don't you? Esmeralda, you take public transport.
I know. I got yelled at. Nick DiGilio saw me when I was leaving. He's like, where's your scarf? And I'm like, I have a high-necked coat. Where's your hat? I'm wearing this hoodie.
I like knowing that Nick and I nag you coming and going when you
Which I was fine. It's fine. I have a high-necked coat.
Is your mother listening to this show?
She should. I hope not, because she will call me and be like, why aren't you wearing a hat?
My husband, I got up this morning and he had taken the boys to school, or at least Griffin had been dropped off at school. Declan was on the school bus, and I saw both of their winter boots in our living room. And I'm like, why aren't they wearing their boots? He goes, because there's no snow. I don't think you understand. Well, winter boots, these are not snow boots. These are like kind of like hiking boots that are insulated. They went to school in gym shoes. That bothered me. All right. That's not as bad as going out without a scarf, Esmeralda. Why am I yelling at you? I don't know. I apologize. Maybe because I just heard Sarah Palin's voice.
I wore two coats today.
See, this is
it's
layers.
It's not even that cold, man.
I wore two coats
today. It was
today.
Worse yesterday than the day before.
I had two coats on yesterday.
I understand this, Esmeralda. That is the fallacy of warming temperatures. It's still below 20 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Although, but it's summertime now.
Well, yes. And Fox News would not let you wear a hat. So
nope.
You're appropriately dressed.
That's true.
For a woman.
I'm prepared if any time anyone needs me to go on camera. I'm ready. I don't have any hat hair.
You know, I just want to say I'm wearing a coat now.
Yes. Me too. I'm wearing a jean jacket.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Just be prepared.
How you doing, Rob Martier?
I'm good. My sleeves are rolled up. Got an extra button down on the shirt. Nice and warm up here.
How do you, when you see that the news has come out that Sarah Palin, I'm sorry, it's just fun to say. Craig brought up a good point when you were doing the news. I think I appreciate it. Go ahead, Craig. Tell us what you're excited about.
I'm excited because it means Tina Fey will be on SNL soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, really, it's, you know, even for those of us who tend to lean right, any time that there's a Sarah Palin sighting, you try to run as fast as you possibly can away from Sarah Palin.
Is that true? Because I know that when we started talking about Donald Trump's candidacy and we used any sort of disparaging comments, it seemed like people on the right were very angry. I'm curious, you know what I was wondering on the way here? If there would be anyone who would talk to us about perhaps changing their minds since early in the this process. If they thought at first like Trump sounded like a great idea and have had second thoughts, and we're, and this is not going to be, this is just, I just want to know. I am just curious. Or if you are still just very staunchly in that side of believing that Donald Trump is the future of our country, I would like to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And any thoughts you have. I'm sorry. We had a little bit of a situation in the studio before the show, that, and partly also I climbed 23 floors by choice, not out of, you know, any sort of chasing situation. Wasn't fleeing anyone, but we had to clear the studio for a few minutes. It was a smell scare. Has anyone ever had to clear a school or a business for a smell scare? I guess if it sounds like a hazarded situation, but this was
They have that gas leak in California.
It was not a gas leak.
It was not a gas leak.
It was definitely, I would have appreciated a hazmat suit of some sort. Craig was a little bit nervous that things might not go
There was
well.
Just screaming all of a sudden. I mean, I'm on the other side of glass, and all of a sudden there was just yelling. And then there was almost some stuff, some dry heaving a little bit there.
I'll be fine. It wasn't all dry. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you for finding us. I know it's pretty late, and we appreciate you hanging out with us, whether it's because you can't sleep or maybe you're a night owl like we are. Last summer, when Donald Trump announced his candidacy, I speculated that he was going to go the distance. There were people who said he would not make it past the first debate. There were people who said that after that debate, his numbers would fall, he would be driven out, all kinds of stuff. And I said, I think he's here for a while. And there were people who were angry that we were kind of laughing about it and a little bit concerned about it. And I was wondering if there are people who initially thought this, you know, maybe Donald Trump has a point. Maybe he does speak for the, you know, millions of men and women who feel like they've been left out of the process. Maybe you think it's time for a businessman to run the country. And I've wondered if people have changed their minds since then, because we really haven't talked that much about that. And Oliver wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Oliver, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you? You know, one of the things that kind of enamored me about him was the fact that he's obviously a very, very incredibly successful businessman. And,
right. You
know, he didn't amass everything that he has by being, you know, dumb or making bad decisions. And, you know, you think to yourself, okay, maybe there's something to it. And, you know, I, like many other Americans, grabbed the popcorn and sat on the sofa and started watching this all unfold. But, it, you know, certain aspects of what he does kind of has made me lose respect for him, because it doesn't seem like he tends to think about anything before he says it.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of takes away some of the steam from the valid points that he does bring up, and the way that he could basically unify more people if he was just a little bit more delicate and a little bit more polished in the way that he presented what he does. So it's kind of like the more he spoke and the more stuff that he said, the harder you find yourself being put in a position to where, even if you're having a conversation with friends, it's hard to justify or defend or stand up for someone that you're saying, yes, I'd like for him to be the next president of the United States for X, Y, and Z reasons. But at the same time, you have all this other stuff that comes out of this guy's mouth, and you're like, okay, well, what's the deal? So I think a little bit of tactfulness would have gone a long way. But then again, he's not necessarily a very tactful person to begin with. So I don't know if I'm asking for too much from that perspective. But, you know, to be honest with you, there are certain things that I like about what Bernie Sanders says, and there are certain things that really put me off about, you know, what he does. I love the fact that Bernie is kind of a person for the people in that respect. But I think some of the things that he's coming up with, I mean, is money going to come from the support to pay for all the things that he does? Hillary, on the other hand, I really could care less for anything that comes out of her mouth. And it just seems like she's always embroiled in drama and scandals and other things that are going on. And it's too much of kind of a negative track record for me to even consider her as a viable option.
And,
to be honest with you, it's kind of like the lesser of the evils that you have to kind of pick from.
See, and that's
scenario.
Oliver, that's where I think you and I both are. I don't feel like I have a candidate. I don't have anybody.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Right now, me neither. Exactly.
And when I say that, I guess part of it is that nobody, you don't have to be inspired by your candidate, but you have to want to trust that person. You have to want to.
Where's Ross Perot when you need him?
Wow.
You know,
Ross Perot.
Think about it from this standpoint.
That's funny.
He wasn't offensive the way that Donald Trump was, but he was that much more of a businessman than Donald Trump was, if you think about it, too. But, you know, in all seriousness, I'm not leaning Democratic or leaning Republican. I was hoping that someone would be kind of a knight in shining armor to kind of stand up and say, all right, Americans, let's galvanize and let's pull this all together as a people. But it seems like we're back to the BS politics as usual with the right side and the left side. And, you know, each of the Democratic candidates is toying all of the Democratic thought processes through, and they're all attacking each other in the process. And then you have, you know, forget about the smear campaigns from the Republicans against the Democrats, because the Democrats are doing a good enough job smearing each other during the debate.
They're starting to release the hounds. Have you watched the Democrat debate as well? Did you watch that Saturday?
What a show that was. Yeah, I wanted to say something else, but, you know, it got me to the point where, I was just like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I had to try to stomach watching the rest of it, because it's like the same nonstop rhetoric that keeps going back and forth. And then it gets you fast forwarding to realizing a year or two into the office, you're going to realize that not a damn thing was done that they said they were going to do. And we're back to big politics as usual. We're back to still dealing with, you know, a lot of these big corporations, you know, buying the politicians and putting them in their back pockets. And, you know, it's just at our expense.
I agree.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of elements about what it is that's happening that kind of resonate through what's happening with the people. But, you know, I think that the closest thought process to someone who I had an idea that was going to be someone potentially great for the company, for the country, as awkward as it sounded, was Donald Trump. And unfortunately, I have to say that I really, you know, it kind of pains me that someone that I had kind of some hope for, that had the potential to be the different one, to be the one that was not going to be like the other politicians, you know,
it's
turning into something that we don't like also at the same time. So it's tough.
I want to thank you so much for your Trumpinion. Appreciate that. Craig has, I think we have a new segment called Trumpinions.
Yeah, give us your Trumpinion.
I would love to be a part of the segment. Keep my telephone number and get me involved anytime you'd like to Trumpinion.
There you go. We have Oliver down for Trumpinions.
Cool.
Thank you, Oliver. There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a great night. Bye. And we look forward to talking to you again. Todd, what's your Trumpinion?
I was just kind of weighing in. I'm not really slamming on him, but Oliver jumped from one side of the fence to the other side of the fence about 16 different times.
He did. Well, that's because there's nobody. He's like me, where it's hard to like lock in as one candidate. We need a Franken candidate is what we need at this point.
There you go.
What's your Trumpinion?
I think that Trump is probably at this point the best candidate out of the Republican side, and I'm not sure on the Democratic side. It has to be weighed out and see what comes of it. As far as Trump is concerned, which is what the question was, he's not a politician. Doesn't have the delicacy that possibly a politician tends to have, and that's kind of refreshing to me.
So you, because he's a businessman, you're drawn to that, the idea that the country should be run like a business. Is that something that's appealing to you?
I think just because he is just straightforward. I mean, he says what's on his mind for the most part. I'm not even sure I'm voting for him at all. I'm just saying, you know, he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of come to the surface as the front runner at this point, but there's still a lot of things that I have question on him. But
besides not being a politician, what are the things that he says that you find appealing then?
Just as far as being straightforward. He doesn't mince words. He's not politically correct, which is, to be honest with you, you hear everybody in your own personal conversation say, you know, political correctness is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's gone to the extreme, and that's true, and he's not.
Some of the things that he says that he's saying, I say this because I don't want to be politically incorrect anymore, often just sounds like it's being mean rather than being politically incorrect, like saying things that we used to think, well, that's not appropriate. It just kind of, it's more, I want to be kind of.
And isn't the president kind of like the face of the United States? Isn't that like our face, our guy? So if you had a company and you had a spokesperson for the company, would you be psyched if that spokesperson didn't care about public opinion and said what he thought all the time? Shouldn't the president be a little bit more regal?
I like that word. If it was for the higher purpose, though, not necessarily.
Oh, so
I don't know that Lyndon B. Johnson was always regal. I don't know that.
In private, he definitely wasn't. Ooh, have you ever heard the tapes, audio tapes of? Every time I think of President Johnson, I can't think Lyndon Johnson. I can't think of anything but those audio tapes when he was talking to his tailor about making room for him.
Yeah.
Yes, but that was those were recordings that we were not necessarily supposed to hear. Trump is actually just doing that in front of the microphones.
True.
Yes.
True. But it's kind of refreshing, to be honest with you.
Right.
So.
All right.
We'll have to see. There's an awful lot left to see before it distills out to see who the candidates are.
Let's see. I'm just concerned that, again, political correctness, I think, yes, people do want to be able to be, you know, free with their expression. But sometimes it just seems like it's just for the sake of being mean. But Todd, thank you for your Trumpinion. This was great.
Hey, you have a great night.
You too. Thank you. More after this.
Bye.
More for this on 720 WGN.
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA. Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down.
Craig, you know what's great? Your segment, Trump Pinion, actually has theme music by the Trumpeteers.
You're right. This actually is a full-on segment
already. Yeah, I think that it's all done.
We got to get Donald's Trumpinion.
Oh, we do need it. Well, he shares his Trumpinion all the time. Carm, we bled over into your segment, Carm. We didn't have our regular music for you. Hi, Mark Carmen. How are you doing?
Hi, Patty. That's okay. You can play all the Trump propaganda. We can all vomit together, if I may.
No, please don't say that word. We had a bit of a situation in the studio. Carm, you've been in the Allstate Showcase studio, and you know, like, people come in, they've got drinks, they've got different kinds of food comes in and out of the studio. And
that only happens at your show, Patty, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, the 3.5 bears never do that at all, or the 4 bears, the bears that hang out with Carm. And there's no breakfast food coming into the Allstate Showcase studio during Cochran's show. And I know, you know, Ro Khan never has anything coming in, like, not even like any, like a cocktail or anything with a wagon.
I stand corrected.
Definitely not on Fridays. I mean, nothing on Friday.
And here's the thing, like, Justin Kaufman has definitely taken it down a notch from where Pete McMurray. Remember Pete McMurray would have like trays of wings? And I mean, there was so much food. What I'm saying is, and also, look, people come in with their coffee cups, with their cream in it and stuff, and people don't always dump that out and then put it in a garbage can. They put it in with fully loaded, and I don't know what was in the bottom of this garbage can, and I'm sure that people in the studio over the course of the last couple of days thought that there was something going on with the smell, but I finally pulled these plastic bags out, and there was a layer down there that was just a combination of a lot. See, there it is again. I can't. It was so vile, Carm. Craig just heard a lot of screaming from the studio. But yeah, could everyone, just as a general note to everyone everywhere, if there's something left in your cup or your container and you know that people are going to be sitting in close proximity to it, like if it's under their desk, you know, find a different way to dispose of that.
Yeah, let's make this kind of PSA for anyone in any sort of office space.
Yes.
A trash can is not a sink.
No.
You're not pouring stuff out in a trash can.
Pour the liquid out and then the solids go in the garbage.
Yes.
Let's assign blame. Who do we think it was? Let's call them out right now.
No, what I'm saying is I think it was stuff that had come out and around the plastic bag. These are very thin bags that they lock. Because it's intended for paper. It's intended for the sort of waste that we use in the studio.
I like Mark's suggestion to assign blame, and I'm going to go outside the box here.
Yes.
Dave Ennett, who's very clean. I bet he's the one who did it.
Dave Ennett. Yeah, I smelled some kale in that stuff. It was a collection, I think, of everybody's juice. It was a people's too. It was a collaborative effort. I think that a lot of people are throwing things away that made it its way through the
bottom.
If that
doesn't make out of context for Nick's show, collection of everybody's juice.
I'm telling you right now, it was Frank Fontana.
Oh, see, and Frank gets snacks sometimes. He gets some people that bring some food in. Anyway, so that's what I was alluding to earlier. But anyway, Carm, what lifted me right back up, even though I got a little bit, I had a little bit of a yip in my throat, was remembering that the Blackhawks have won 12 in a row.
is this not unbelievable?
It's
honestly.
And I feel like it's like, sneaking up. Like every game, you're like, oh yeah, they won another one. It's almost like it's expected all of a sudden now. First Patrick Kane has how many games in a row?
He scored his 30th goal of the season, which matches a career high. And by the way, they've only played 49 games. So that would leave 33 more games to play, and he's already matched his career high, which is crazy. Congratulations, Patrick Kane. And, I mean, let's not stop there. I mean, Corey Crawford, yet another win tonight, 27-10-2 on the season, 38 saves. I mean, the Blackhawks are – I mean, and for Crawford, by the way, it's his 9th win in a row, which is a career best. I mean, this is crazy what's going on, really. I mean, everybody thought the Hawks were, you know, after they reassembled their roster, which they had to do because of the salary cap, nobody expected 12 consecutive wins and a franchise record and 30 goals for Kane, and the goalie's out of his mind. And by the way, Nashville's a pretty good team, too, that they beat tonight on the road. It's impressive.
It's, by the way, it's as much as I love Nashville as a city, it is fun to beat the Predators. It just is.
No doubt. And have you been to the Ryman Theater down in Nashville?
I have not. Have I been to the Ryman? No, I have not.
It's quite a good time, Patty. I did it back in the day when we drove 8 hours to Nashville to see Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits fame. We stopped in French Lick, Indiana on the way to see the home of Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. I know you impress all the, this is very impressive to you.
I know that isn't there the Basketball Hall of Fame, like not the basketball, but the College Basketball Hall of Fame in Central Indiana as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I have to double check. Hang on a second there.
I know I stayed at a motel nearby, some sort of Basketball Hall of Fame in Indiana.
Okay. Well, there might be a high school thing. I think the College Basketball Hall of Fame is in Kansas City, where I once worked, by the way.
Yeah. Now I have to Google it. Googling with Mark Carman. See what I do to my guests? I make them look things up while they're in the middle of talking to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you just got to be ready for Patty Vasquez. Kansas City, Missouri, that's correct. I was there. Thank you very much.
So what Basketball Hall of Fame is in Indiana? Indiana.
The Patty Vasquez Basketball Hall of Fame is in Indiana. It's the most important Hall of Fame there is.
At any rate, go on. Maybe it's
there's an Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame.
They have just for the state of Indiana.
Just for Indiana stuff.
What state is that?
that is in Indiana, surprisingly.
And what city does it reside?
Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. See, close by.
Close by. Ish. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I stayed near there. I was all worried about whether or not there would be any rooms available because of everyone flooding to Newcastle to see the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Well, they got a lot of basketball players out of Indiana. Including Larry Bird, apparently.
Well, Jimmy Chitwood, Hickory, the whole deal. I mean, come on.
All right.
It was a great film, right? You loved it.
Which movie is it? The Hoosiers?
You never saw Hoosiers?
Of course, I saw Hoosiers. I just don't remember any of it. Except for Dennis Hopper plays a drunk. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct.
And Gene Hackman, kind of a
badass Gene Hackman
coach.
Was the angry, fiery, yet very highly moral coach, mm-hmm. all at the same time, and you had a Jimmy Chitwood who never missed a jump shot in his life, and you had Shooter, who you already mentioned, and Hopper. Patty.
It's just a collection of underdogs that took it all the way to the top.
Yeah, baby.
Is that on the poster? Was that on the poster? I don't know. Where would you put Remember the Titans in relation to the Hoosiers?
Not as high, but I'm more of a...
Yeah, but Remember the Titans has Denzel.
It does.
Yeah.
All right, then.
It does. As far as Denzel movies go, like Remember the Titans way down the list, I'd way much rather go with like an old school Glory.
Ooh, whoa, you're going way back. You're going to his Academy Award winning performance.
That was a phenomenal performance. Underrated, vastly underrated. I mean, you could go...
Plus, by the way, Andre Brower, Morgan Freeman... I'm just saying, there's a lot of other actors. Morgan Freeman, I think, was great in that movie as well.
He was. Yes. He absolutely was. So was Matthew Broderick. Deserves props for his performance there.
Carrie always, how do we go from the Hoosiers to Glory? We're just going to go.
I have no idea, but
I'm impressed.
It feels all right.
It does. It really does feel all right. Carm, before we take a break here, why are you getting up so early in the morning? And I should let you go to bed soon.
I'm just trying to make myself a better Mark Carman, mm-hmm. and we're going to do some I'm up at 5 o'clock the rest of the week here, Patty. I'm getting involved with trying to be the best Mark Harmon I can be. So I've committed to this sort of like a week of intensive training, if you will.
Okay, so I'll be doing the stairs tomorrow. Craig Carm, can I interest you in some stair climbing?
We're rocking in at noon.
Yes.
And then I made a commitment today to live a dream with you that is very exciting. And I'm expecting big things out of you, Patty.
Oh my gosh. Let's tease people about that. I totally forgot about that. I didn't forget about this. I've just put it out of my mind because it sounds a little bit daunting. Let's find out what Carm and I are going to be up to at the end of February going into March. We can't tell a lot. I have to fill out my paperwork. More after this on 720 WGN. I'll do it during the break. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me on the line is our very own Mark Carmen. Hey, Carm, have you filled out your Educator's Workshop Guide packet?
I did fill them out. I haven't done the scan and email in, but that is the number one thing on the to-do list tomorrow, Patty.
So what we are what we're hinting at is a kind of a exciting adventure that Carm and I are going on later on in February. We are headed to San Diego. Are we? How much can we tell people? I don't know.
I have no idea, and I don't know what we're doing at all.
What do you mean you don't know what we're doing at all?
Well, I originally got the text today about would I like to spend some time in San Diego with Patty Vasquez and try to become a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed that we were going to like be in legit boot camp, but then like reading up on the website, it seems like we're just going to be sort of more observing the Marines, and which is great too. But I really kind of wanted to get in the trenches with you and become. I want mud and
well, we're going to be doing
logs.
Well on Thursday. We'll be going to Camp Pendleton and we'll be doing weapons training, hands-on leadership exercises, the rifle range, and those are some of the just a few of the things that we'll be doing.
I mean, I'm hoping that we leave out of there bruised, injured, battered, and in better shape. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of like really hardcore, like no big tire flipping and climbing walls. You know, no, we're not going to have a big moment of like, I got nowhere else to go. I don't have any of that.
Yeah, no, we're going to be more like seeing what they do. So it's like we're going to like have a glass of wine and just kind of watch the Marines, which is cool, too.
Yes, I think there are pictures of people who look like they're crawling around in the grass and running the track. But maybe that's the people that are actually training and not us.
Yeah, but the people that they show in those pictures, though, they don't look like they're in the best physical shape.
Well, it's also, I think you and I are kind of like, can we just bring our own fatigues? Do we have to wear, like, culottes? Looks like some of them are wearing capris.
Yeah, no, I want the full treatment. Let's go full on, officer and gentleman. I want to drop me in water, like, see if I could flip out of there.
Craig and I are going to go into the Army-Navy surplus to get our own equipment. We're going to show up. We'll be the only ones.
I think you guys should get some hot pink camo.
Oh no! I'm not.
That
okay.
way you can
I'm not
stand
okay
out.
I'm not okay with that. Well, no, we're going to stand out if we totally geek out and get all the gear. We'll already stand out plenty because it looks like some of the other folks have like fluorescent green hoodies. You know, like exactly.
You don't want to stand out during this, right? You want to blend.
I don't know what we want to do. I think we want to take it seriously and pay attention to the Marines.
Right, take it seriously, but you don't want to get yelled at too much, so you just kind of blend.
No, I don't want to get yelled at.
Right.
I did the Craig and Carm and everybody else. I did do the FBI Citizens Academy, and it was mostly classroom stuff. We learned about all the different branches of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, how they recruit, how they train. We did do firearms training. We did some wall climbing. But mostly it was classroom educational stuff for several weeks. And actually, I went to Quantico. I went to Washington D.C. and toured the FBI building there. So it was cool.
We got a quick question from the 312 for Mark about tennis. Mark, what do you think about Rafael Nadal losing last night in the first round of the Australian Open? Is he done? Is it over? What are your thoughts?
No. It absolutely is not over. I watched the highlights of the match. I did not see it live, but I watched the highlights. And Fernando Verdasco was out of his mind. He played as good a match as he could possibly play. And these things, I mean, no. The answer is no. And Nadal does have a little bit of a problem with his forehand, as we do nerd out, thank you, on tennis. It's got to be he's got to hit it with more force, and I think he will. But I'm telling you right now, Rafael Nadal will bounce back big in the French Open.
I've got a quick question for you, Carmi.
Hey, Rob Artier.
The BBC reporting match fixing.
Yes, I was wondering about that. Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
What up with that?
Well, I'm like Roger Federer, and I'm like Novak Djokovic. Rob, show me the names. Tell me who's doing what, because nobody's coming forth with any names.
Most of them at this point, the names that have been kicked around are kind of mid-level to low-level players, but it's still somewhat disturbing, though.
Well, Novak Djokovic said he was offered $200,000 back in 2007 to throw a match, of which he declined. So, listen, I'm not saying it's not going on. I'm sure it is, but to say that Grand Slam matches were paid off, I just don't believe that. I really don't. Why would anybody who's playing for $2 million throw a match? It wouldn't make any sense. But is it happening in low-level tournaments? Wouldn't surprise me.
Carm, we have to run. I apologize that we didn't get to cover a lot more sports with you, but you have to get some rest because you're getting up in a few hours. Plus, you're doing some stair climb with me at noon, so get your rest on.
Patty, I'm just going to tell you right now, I am a tremendous travel companion. You can have all the arm bars on the plane, whatever you need, I'm there to make it better for you.
That's fine. I appreciate it. It's good to know. We'll find out. You know what? You and I will talk tomorrow. We'll work everything out and figure out our travel arrangements.
Okay.
All right, Carm, get some rest.
That's
Mark Carmen. You can follow him on Twitter at The Carm, and we'll talk to him again next week. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm joined by author, comedian, and one of our favorite people, Erica Nicole Clark, joins us.
Hi, Patty.
Who I did not know had a ritual. Well, one, I did not realize that your birthday was on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your ritual every Christmas Eve at 9:24 now?
42.
No, I'm sorry. I flipped the numbers. I just read it. 9:40. You know when you were born.
Yeah, so I used to write. I stopped, actually, but I used to write 3 pages every day of, like, what was going on in my life or what I wanted to be going on. And every place I moved to, I would just bring these journals with me. So a couple years back, I started rereading them. And God, it was so stupid. Like, the stuff that I wanted, oh, my God, I'm so happy that I didn't get. And, like, just it's funny to look back on, because you think stuff is so important.
Oh, it's so intense.
Like, it has to work this way, and if I don't, I'll just die. And you think, like, you grow out of that in your, like, teenage years, but, like, especially the stuff that I wanted in my 20s, or I thought, like, by the time I get 30, oh, I said this at 21 on my 21st birthday, by the time I'm 35, which I'm past now, that I want to have 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And live in LA. I wanted 5 kids with this person named Jay, and live in LA and have 2 Oscars. Like, all this stuff, like 2 Oscars for screenwriting, which I could never be a screenwriter. Like, it's just the most boring thing. Like, I need to be around people. Like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine if I had a fifth of a kid with Jay.
Right.
You're like, 5 kids.
You look at yourself now, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, just like all this stuff. And it's like, I thought 21, I was pretty, like, level-headed.
You were already looking back going,
right,
I got this.
So, yeah, whatever. I'm so grown up now. Yeah, and it's just very interesting to look back on.
And you've used this now. Are you using these books for to inform the book you've just released on Amazon.com?
Yes. I found one. And the crazy thing is, I found one, and it's only part of a year. But it was so much stuff happened that year. And so I kind of made it my book, which is How to Be a Stalker. And I'm very mad. And if you read it, you'll see, because I couldn't find the second half. It was my junior year in high school. So I had so much stuff written up until like January. And then I had nothing, which I'm just like,
you're like, what happened?
I know. I was like, I can't remember.
And I was
And I was really trying to remember. And then I started back up in like August before my senior year. So
do you think like sometimes you stopped writing? Like, I think I stopped writing when I kind of started doing what I wanted to do. Do you think maybe you were like happy for a little bit?
Yeah, I think. No, like, seriously.
Maybe content.
Is. Because I stopped. I permanently stopped. I like made a conscious effort in 2013 to stop writing. I know that sounds like backwards and everything, but I can kind of get super lost in that.
Right.
You know, and, like, I even get stuck on my penmanship. Like, oh, I didn't write this right. And I'll, like, cross it out. Like,
for me, I'm like, is it going forward? Is it
right.
Going backwards.
Yeah. Am I doing cursive? And it's just like, and like, I get super obsessed about like how I wrote my goals and how I wrote my steps. Like, so I was just like, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to, I know what I have to do to get where I need to be. So, yeah, so I stopped.
So you, so How to Be a Stalker is informed by this year in high school.
Yes.
And what kind of perspective do you have on that now? Like, how that informs the way you, you know, see people in your world. How, what's your advice to people on how to be a stalker on your experiences in high school?
Oh, okay. Well, it was one of those things that just sort of happened. Every girl knows what I'm talking about when you're 15 and
22
in love with a guy who does not know your name. And it kind of started as this thing where, like, I just want to see where he lives and I want to see the inside of his house. And I've got five other girls who want to do it too. And they like his friends, and it just snowballed. But the thing that was happening that year is that my father was being sued by three different women for paternity. And my
and he's a high profile guy. We can tell people who he is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So my dad is Mr. T. So
it was all in the news. People were talking about it.
And it was after the, you know, me and my friend, my best friend, kind of like eased into stalking. But the day we were caught, you know, we were trapped at the end of a street, and then she just drove through their cars and almost hit someone. Like, it was crazy. Like, the next day I had to go to school, and it was like my mom had her first manic episode, and she came up to the school. And it's like, so I was so like worried about like, oh, they're gonna know that we're stalkers. And then like this whole other thing started to happen, you know, with my mom and having a manic episode at my school, like in front of everybody. And then my dad with the paternity stuff that was like in the paper like 3 days later. It was weird. It's like I was stalking, but all this other much bigger stuff was happening at the same time. So
do you feel like with your book that you've released on Amazon.com, How to Be a Stalker, do you feel like you've been able to sort of, and this sounds so, you know, touchy-feely, and because you mentioned in your opening, in your introduction, that this has been better for you than therapy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you get to take care of that teenager a little bit this way?
Yeah, I was like, the weird thing is a lot of the things that I feared happening happened. But I didn't, like, blow my brains out. You know what I mean? Like, you just, like, I couldn't even imagine if my parents split up, you know, and they did. And, okay.
That is the hardest thing. I think that's so hard for people to know that the fear oftentimes, and this is a quote, too. I can't remember what poet wrote this, and I know I'm myself trying to think of it. But the fear of something is, we blow it, because our imagination, we can imagine everything.
Right, yeah.
But the reality of it happens, you deal with it.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with your imagination.
Right, yeah. And it was just like, you know, it's just like, oh, my mom's always going to be crazy, and, you know, like, and then my dad's going to leave, and then we're going to have to move to the orphanage, you know, like a homeless shelter, you know, like all this stuff. And it just keeps going and going, and all this stuff happened, and like nothing, you know what I mean? I just,
like, you made it
okay. Yeah. Like, no, I didn't try to cut my wrist. I was okay, you know? So yeah, that looking back on it, it's like, oh man, I was so worried about all this stuff. And it helps me, because everyone does that. I get very anxious about, like, oh, I want to do this and this and this, and I'm not at the point where I want to be in my, you know, and I always have to remember, like, it's all going to work out. I mean, even if it doesn't work out the way I want it to, it's going to work out.
It will be what it'll be.
And it'll be okay.
I feel like a case of Ross or Rock coming, right?
I want to check real quick if this is the quote you're talking about, Patty. Fear is not real. The only place that fear exists is in our thoughts of the future. It's a product of our imagination.
No, that's not the one, but that sounds good,
okay,
too.
Okay, because that's Will Smith in After Earth.
No, it's not in that. Let me look it up during the break now that you think I'm quoting Will Smith. It's not. I want to say it's Emily Dickinson, actually, has a thing about fear. And that doesn't, not, is that, I you know, now I'm so, like, because was she the one that wrote about trains and going into tunnels? Okay, more after this on 720 WGN. We've got Tim Slagle in the green room. I'm sure he's like, oh, I can't wait. Because I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned wanting to be at the Academy Awards as a screenwriter.
Yes.
See what I did there? Brought it all the way back around. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the Academy Awards and what people are talking about this week. More with Erica Nicole Clark. And we're going to bring Tim Slagle in after this on 720 WGN. Craig, before the break, you asked if I was quoting Will Smith when I said that there was a wonderful poem
in After Earth of all movies.
Yes,
too.
It was not that.
Okay,
it was an Emily Dickinson poem that I actually found not long after my father passed away, because I had spent most of my childhood being afraid that he would die. And it was weird because I'd lived with the fear so long that this poem hit me very hard. Would you like to read the poem that I actually was trying to
find? I would love to read the poem, While We Were Fearing It, It Came. Is that the right one?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay. Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts and our future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things.
You're reading that nicely.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually...
Will Smith in After Earth.
You went back to After Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay. I can read the real one. You want the real poem?
It's hard, isn't it? Because it's a little bit like, do I read this like Dr. Susie? But it's Emily Dickinson, so it's a woman wearing black who never really left her room. I don't know what to do with this.
While we were fearing it, it came, but came with less of fear, because the fearing is so long, had almost made it far. Fair? I can't read those yet.
Stop it.
It says fair.
Dear.
Almost made it fair.
Dear.
There is a fitting, a dismay, a fitting, a despair. 'Tis harder knowing it is due than knowing it is here.
Sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Than trying on the utmost the morning it is new. It's terribler.
Terribler.
That's not a word.
Not
okay.
A word.
All right, then. I have to
terribler.
Move on. I can't. Someone please call and read this poem well.
It's terribler.
Terribler. Yes, it's terribler.
I read it terribler.
Okay. Hey, it's poetry. It doesn't have to be grammatically correct. Have you ever read E.E. Cummings? All right. Hi, Tim Slagle. How are you doing? Hold on. Do you have a... Let's see.
Yeah, there I am.
There you are. Oh, you know what? You're all sitting away from me, so I'm thrown off completely. Tim Slagle joins us live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He has a show coming up at Zany's next Monday. It's the showroom on Wells near North Avenue. What's the event?
It's the main room. We're doing something called Campaign 2016. It's a series of political showcases.
Is it campaign or is it? I'm sorry.
Campaign. Yes.
Campaign. I'm just saying campaign.
Yes, like a sadistic summer place.
Yes, exactly. I see a lot of harnesses and helmets and horseback riding. mostly the shoveling of the...
No, just the idea of the camp comes. A lot of the comics are going to be doing political sets, don't normally do political sets. So it's kind of like a camp. It's kind of like a training camp, a band, kind of a, maybe a band camp for political comics.
And do you have to, are the comics preset, or if I can I come and play?
You want to come?
I might do a few minutes.
You want to come next Monday?
I'll come at least watch the show. I don't know but I'd love to come see the show.
You want to? I'll put you on. Right. You can do a couple jokes. Right. I don't.
Yeah, I'll do a couple jokes.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter as long as they're political.
Right. You
got it. Sure. Yeah,
I don't. Not that they're good jokes, but I'll talk politics.
Oh, next week we have a heck of a lineup. We got Will Durst.
I know, that's why
in.
I want to go. Not just because of Will Durst.
I do comedy because
of Will Durst.
Okay. Really?
Brilliant. Absolutely. When I was in high school, I saw him explain Iran and Iraq and how we sold arms to one and intel to the other. And then we sold intel to the other, telling them that he knows about the gun, man. It's one of my favorite. I was like, oh, my God, it totally makes sense. So, yes, that's why I do comedy.
So we got Will Durst, Azar Usman, Robert Brill, a gentleman from coming all the way from Minneapolis to be part of the event. Dwayne Kennedy, local. Emily Galati.
What?
Yeah. Do you want to talk a show? You want to talk a big show?
And I do. We are. I think we are talking.
And even Kevin Naughton.
Oh, there you go. Kevin might snap, though. Are we okay with that?
Well, that's the idea. He's gonna snap about politics. He's gonna do a political snap. It's a prime example. He says, "I've never done political before. I've always wanted."
He
to
He might
give it
find
a try.
His niche. Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, it's. Right, yeah, he might snap.
Right. He just might. I know that Erica is hoping that there is a spectacle at the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. She's hoping that Chris Rock just starts and walks right off.
I hope so.
Just walks right off that stage. But I doubt it, though.
I know, but God, it would be so great. Like, we would remember this forever.
Yeah, that's true. Like, although I think he has an opportunity to do some of the most brilliant "I'm the only black man in the room" jokes.
I know, but he did it before. He was the host before when it was the same situation.
And do you remember how awkward? Does anybody remember how awkward it was when he was talking about Kazan and there was a weird Kazan moment because they were giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and there was a lot of controversy about that because he had kind of snitched on during the blacklisting and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and that De Niro wouldn't like him because he doesn't like a rat. It was very strange. Uh-huh. It was really awkward. Nobody remembers it but me.
No, you're right. It would always be remembered.
Yes.
By every single casting director in Hollywood if you were to do something like that.
But he's at the point where he can.
Yeah, I think he's beyond touching. Yeah.
Is anybody at that point?
Untouchable?
To the point where we don't mind if we never work again. That's what it is. You know, right. When you reach a certain point of success, the money means nothing. It's the working. So, I could seriously see, if he did something, he's the only black face that's going to be in the entire room that night. But
it could be awkward.
Why turn that down?
Erica's like, show up, do it, and then walk off.
What is that lady's name who played Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince of
Bel-Air? I heard about the video where she went after Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith.
She ripped them apart so badly that it you know how like someone says something that's like an opposing point of view of yours?
Yeah.
And after two or three minutes, she got me. And I was like, man, she's right. Because she was talking about like Will and Jada have said nothing
about
anything.
Like, yeah.
Black Lives Matter, all these kids getting shot by police, all of this stuff, and you choose the Oscars to talk and boycott.
Yeah. After you've made millions upon millions of dollars, it's now you're
going to take a stand on this.
This is the wall. This is the wall you're going to stand
right,
on.
We're not going to get a prize.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
that's the thing is that they also have enough money to make their own movies.
Right. And that's
go
get what she
go
said.
Make that happen.
You can make there's so
they
many
they could cast
more.
An Oscar out right. of solid gold. They could have it commissioned.
Oh, he's talking about putting people in the movie. He's talking about the foundry where they make the little statues.
Right. And then she started she even ripped apart because Jada's mad that he didn't get nominated for a Concussion. That part was making me laugh because she's like, he did a terrible Nigerian accent too. It's like, he shouldn't have been nominated anyway. I'm like, oh my God.
The Russian that emails me does a better Nigerian accent.
Yes, he did a very terrible, but it's a good movie. But he did a terrible
I think my friend Amelia, who writes, she's a Mexican-American writer in LA, and she said, it's too late. Academy Awards time is too late to say there's not enough diversity.
Right.
The process starts now. So talk about getting stuff done.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so yeah.
Shonda Rhimes has made it happen. She creates work that gets people, to tell stories that then wins Emmys or at least nominations. Yeah,
and Golden Globes and stuff.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah, because they
get to do the work.
For the Golden Globes, there are 18 African-American nominees, but zero for, and I guess people are upset because of the two movies that were mostly African-American, they still found the white people
Straight
out of Compton, the best screenwriter. Like, you found the one white person, and then Creed.
They had to work with all those black people, and they still did a good job.
And you still wrote, which is like, and then I don't feel like they're going to win that.
No.
Because that movie it's not like, mm-mm. This is great writing that they said. You know, the movie, they had all the facts right in front of them, so
It's a. I don't watch the award shows anymore. I used to sit down and get all excited. The dresses and those conversations on the red carpet. I mean, it starts like 9 hours before the actual event, and Tim, I don't see you as a sitting down with your favorite cocktail and watching the Academy Awards. I just don't see you like putting your feet
having
up.
A pool. Yes. Doing a little pool. Yeah. Everyone picking their that might, who can pick the most.
That might be more interesting, I guess. I've never even done that where you're like betting on the.
Oh, I did that.
Like the grids and stuff.
Yeah. Did you see any of the movies? Like, I honest to God only saw The Revenant and I bought it from.
How was it?
The local crackhead on some. I swear. I do not know where this man gets these movies from. They are like perfect screen copies.
That's what they are. They're screeners. It's essentially they want to make sure that everyone in the Academy has seen all the movies.
Or the Screen Actors Guild.
The ones they think that will win. So they send out these screeners, and some people are less than reputable. When they get the screeners, they rip them off and hand them to all their friends who then rip them off, and that's how they get out there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I said The Revenant was amazing.
Was it?
But everything else.
Why were they making jokes about the... What happened?
A little blind fell.
Blind.
Yeah. The looks on your face is like, it seemed a little more intense. Something fell on the studio. I don't know what's happening tonight. There's a lot going on in here.
It's a little spooky. It was a haunting.
Something fell.
Don't talk about Leo.
Yeah, something apparently fell. Craig, seriously, we've gone from ghosts to demons in the studio. I don't know what's happening.
What were they making jokes about? You said?
Being manhandled by a bear.
Oh, my God, that part. Did you see the movie? You said you did.
I can't take Leonardo DiCaprio seriously. Anything.
It's just too much.
Where the bear has his way with him?
Yeah, it's way...
I can't get that out of my head now. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Someday, Craig, we do have to figure out a way to podcast but I think I would get in trouble. Like, people would listen to the podcast and be like, I'm never listening to that show.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff really shouldn't be aired anywhere.
No, anywhere?
Well, I guess the internet's fine.
There were things last night we talked about from Sketchfest that you were like, please don't ever bring that up.
Yeah, I never wanted to know that stuff.
Well, I've asked you to Google something. Tim Slagle had posted something on his Facebook page. Tim, what did you get red flagged for by Facebook?
I posted the picture. It's a very famous picture. It's Steven Tyler on the beach in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And after it got out.
That sounds
and went,
nice and relaxing.
Sure.
He's enjoying himself.
Sure, unless... Unless you've seen Steven Tyler without a shirt on in recent years, because he dude looks like a lady.
Unfortunate.
He looks like a 14-year-old girl.
It's a little,
They're so perky. That's not what I was expecting. You know, like, I've worked with older people, like, in a nursing home, and, like, I was expecting just the droop, not like a...
Oh, yeah, they're like...
No,
like
you weren't expecting a point. No, yeah, you like were not expecting
like
the point.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like a torpedo bra from the 50s.
Oh, yeah, like a Marilyn Monroe. Oh, my God.
I think at some point my father had... My mother always said, because I'm a bit of a busty girl, and my mother said, I don't know. You got it from your father's side of the family. Look, he has boobs, which was before... It was long before moobs was a thing. But you had this picture removed.
Yeah, I put it on Facebook, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was an algorithm or somebody just said, ew, but it got removed. And it said, this picture has been removed pending investigation.
Wow.
It
must make you feel like any minute now you're going to hear someone knocking at the door.
Right.
Like, we're here about the Steven Tyler
I'm thinking
picture.
It might have just been an algorithm. I think it actually might have been a nipple algorithm that actually goes through all the pictures and actually flags them if they seem to be showing a female nipple. Human has to look through them, and when the human looked through it, they probably had the same repulsed look on their face that that we did here in the studio when you pulled it up.
I had a photo removed from Facebook one time as well. It wasn't like a nudity thing, but I posted a photo of a grocery store sign that has a white woman eating a cracker, and above it says, crackers love cheese. And she's just eating the cracker, and they took it down, and they said that I was being racist, and I was, yeah.
And now, again, do you think that's an algorithm? But because sometimes people complain, and that's how some of those alerts come up.
Yeah, that
too.
Sounds like that sounds like it might have been a complaint.
That might have been that's gone crazy. That way. I've never gotten red flagged. I feel like I should be doing more, but
you got to get in there.
Got to get in there.
Yeah. You got to try it out.
Got to tussle.
It's great. It's a very stern warning from Facebook when you first log in.
Did you feel like any minute it might be?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr.
Collins,
really did. We need to talk to you.
Zuckerberg was showing up at my door.
Esmeralda, you don't put anything racy online, do you?
No.
No. You sound almost
forlorn.
Because
I'm scared. I'm scared. It's more family that I'm frightened of.
That makes sense.
Because my mom will tell me, she'll tell me things like, your dad said that you put something about something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? That's not even what I was talking about, but all right.
Okay.
Thanks for yelling at me for something that makes no sense. So that's more what I'm scared of.
See, we get back. By the way, speaking of backlash from family members, let me see. This is 1:10 on Tuesday, going into Wednesday, technically. I'd like to apologize to Griffin. I misquoted him. I misrepresented his feelings towards Donald Trump. He is not a fan of Donald Trump, but he does not wish him any ill will. So I want to reiterate, Griffin, I apologize for misrepresenting your feelings on the matter. So that's, I think I've covered that, right? There were kids.
Did he sue you?
No, he just was very angry. He goes, this is what happens often in my house, whether it's coming from my mom's apartment downstairs. I never said that. And Steve will look at me. He's like, why did you tell people that? And then Griffin, this is the first time Griffin has approached me and said he would like clarification on the matter. Oh. So I feel I've addressed it, and now we can move on. Because he's a very focused young man who also feels very strongly about politics. I told a story about his spelling bee last week. He got the word evanescent.
Oh.
Which, yeah, exactly.
What?
That was, but that noise.
I was like, y'all send me a spelling evidence.
That was the noise that reverberated throughout the entire auditorium, like, because a whole round of kids had just gone down. They'd gone down in flames on words that weren't even that hard, right? Like, I think a lot of us were like, did they say effervescent? Yeah. Like, we were all trying to like figure out what that word meant. One kid went down on trellis. You know, there were other words that just didn't seem like, but I didn't even know what the word meant, and I got nervous. I was like,
I think it means a goth chick in a plaid miniskirt.
That's a band.
Evanescence.
Yeah, but if you know the band, you know how to spell it.
That was the thing. Was everyone was really nervous because it was like, what does it even mean? So Griffin, who does like to control the pace of a spelling bee, he will ask for a word of origin. He will ask for the word in a sentence. So he did. He asked for the word evanescent to be used in a sentence. And as soon as the vice principal said, to quote Franklin D. Roosevelt in his inaugural speech, I was like, oh, this is going to Griffin. This is like this is the universe saying Griffin's got to get this right. Uh-huh. And so, you know, Griffin like took his time. And I want to read the quote. I'm trying to find the quote. About
the sentence I would do is, all the fat girls in school want to get tickets for Evanescent.
I'm having... See, that would not be it. So,
and just again, to reiterate, it's Evanescence.
It's Evanescent.
Okay.
Evanescent.
Okay.
So here was the quote.
The, band.
The word evanescent, the joy and moral stimulation of work, no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profits. Right? So that was the quote from Roosevelt's speech. To the rest of us, we're kind of like, I still don't know what that means.
I'm still trying to figure out how I would spell it.
And we were all still a little bit nervous. Griffin nails it, you know, goes another two rounds, wins the entire spelling bee. And I was like waiting for him to, like, I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to ask him, like, what, you know, that's your favorite president. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why that's his favorite president. Roosevelt created the March of Dimes, which later became the March of Dimes. And in the 1960s and 70s, they were the organization responsible for helping with the research. They funded the research for a chemical called surfactant, which was what they used to save my son Declan's life with. Mm-hmm. So it lines the lungs so that a baby and people who aren't able to hold a breath on their own can have the capacity to inhale. So Griffin adores Franklin Roosevelt. And so when they were, and I've watched the video when they said Roosevelt, Griffin kind of like goes like, almost like he's holding a baby, and then he touches his heart. And he watched it and he said he wasn't doing that. I'm like, I saw you. I mean, mm-hmm. And you may not have done it intentionally. Right. So I said, what did you think when they said Roosevelt? Like, we're like, oh, I've got this. He goes, no, I knew they were going to use that quote. I wanted the school to hear it. So I was just like, what?
What is with your son? Like at 12, I was like.
Yeah, no. And he's going to be like, mommy, I didn't say it that way. I'm like, well, that's how I heard it.
Oh, that's so, oh my God. He's super intelligent.
He's on levels that are just. By the way, I want to mention this too. And this is not for, you guys can say another segment because now I'm hijacking it for my kids. But also for parents who have a child with a disability. I've talked before about how Declan doesn't speak. He can't communicate. We do a little bit of sign language. There's a new app app that they are using and that he's in the last couple of days has been able to use the words play, want, eat, and we're very excited about that. So I'm going to look it up while we take a break and mm-hmm. let you know if anyone's interested in sharing this information. It's an app for iPads. I'm guessing that you can also use it on Androids, and I will find that in just a moment. When we come back. Our guests are – are you guys staying or do you need to go? It's kind of me when I ask you on the air. I know. Let's keep it one more second.
No, bars are open for another couple of hours. Right, good. I know where
yeah.
to go.
Oh, I know. I found a 5 o'clock. More after this on 720 WGN.
All these years, will you still have
You're listening pretty late. I'm sorry. What song is this? I didn't mean to leave this on for so long.
This is My Immortal by Evanescence.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
That's their only good song.
Wow. Evanescence. Esmeralda, were you enjoying that? We were just talking about hardcore rap music, and and Erica Nicole Clark has been an educator, and as a mom, I mm-hmm. do that too. Where I you have that voice all day long where you're like, look at you, yay! So then I would listen to music that was inappropriate mm-hmm. in an later. But there's one song I liked a lot when Griffin was little, which was Hollaback Girl.
Uh-huh.
Not realizing that the CD that I'd purchased from a minivan was a different version than I'd heard on the radio. Uh-huh. And Griffin's like, what did she say? I'm like, ship. Pirate. It's a song about pirate ship.
So, that's that's my ship.
Yes, exactly. Ship.
Yeah.
The app I was talking about earlier is called LAMP. It's an app that you can use for a communication device. It comes with a Unity language system. And it's strange because there's something called Picture Exchange that Declan never really was interested in. He would you'd give him these laminated cards that have a picture of, food or, mm-hmm. Car, and he would just drop them on the floor.
Right.
With this app, it seems to be drawing his attention. And but with Declan, they were telling us, they said, speaking of rap music and inappropriate language.
Oh, they love rap music.
Well, Declan loves all kinds of music. He loves any of the scores from the Star Wars movies. He's mm-hmm. he starts dancing and laughing. But they said at some point, as he gets older, they'll be able to incorporate his ability to also use cuss words because mm-hmm. that's kind of an evolution. And I was like, oh, that's my boy. Yeah. He'll be swearing at you.
Yeah. It's funny though.
He should be able to. He should have access to all the right. expressions.
The full language.
One of my
the full spectrum.
Exactly.
Former students who had autism, he would constantly ask to hear rap music or any song, but he wanted to see the lyrics, and he would pause it and be like, this word means, and he'd be like, a dirty lady. what do I say? Play it, and he just kept at it, and I'm just trying to make
definition,
it
please.
I know.
Use it in a sentence.
I know, I'd be like, that lady didn't clean herself today. Oh, she's dirty.
Yeah.
It'd be the whole day he'd be asking definition,
well,
please.
once a child who sees the world differently latches onto a concept, it's hard to shake that. Yeah,
right.
And it's also kind of charming.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little bit. All right. I just saw a cab go by. I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook. I haven't told this story on the air yet. Esmeralda, do you use Lyft or Uber by any chance? I don't think. Do you use Uber or Lyft?
Uber,
yes.
Yeah.
Tim, have you ever tried?
I've used the Uber.
The Uber? I had a very strange experience, so I need your advice on this. So I posted a picture that I was very concerned. I've been posting pictures with good drivers and with bad drivers on Uber and Lyft because I realize if I'm going to post something that's a complaint, I should also, say when it goes well. And that's my opinion, even on Facebook. If people want to hate, well, don't just join the conversation when you're angry about something.
Right.
If you're here because you're part of the conversation, then also contribute in a positive way.
Right.
So,
see, you should be superintendent of police. You have a nice mix of Barney and Andy.
Right.
So I'll post with drivers who did a great job and got me the, and I'll say what their name is. With the bad drivers, I don't say their name. I just say this is a bad ride. I don't usually show their face. But on late Saturday going into Sunday morning, I requested a Lyft. It was sub-zero weather. It was so cold outside. Yeah. And the car was coming.
Oh, it was cold.
It was so cold.
It was so cold, Al Gore was rethinking his position. That's how cold.
Or he said, I meant climate change. So So as the driver was coming, I saw that he had the lowest rating for a Lyft driver I had ever seen on my, like, you get it. They tell you, like, what your driver's got, a 4.9. I've never seen lower than a 4.5. This guy had a 3.5. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, now it's cold. It's late. The car rolls up and he's there. And I'm like, you know, now if you cancel in less than 5 minutes too, you get charged anyway. So I was like, all right, I'm in the car. It's fine. It's not that long of a drive. So we're already heading. We were at Montrose and Damon, and I live on the northwest side in Jefferson Park. And he started going, and it's funny because I was like, all right, he's going to the Kennedy. But he went down Western Avenue to Addison. So he was going already
in the opposite direction.
I'm like, okay, no, I can see, like, this being given as the fastest route, right? It's okay, it's a general direction. And besides, we go past Lane Tech, and I kind of get a little bit sentimental about my high school.
Oh, you went to Lane Tech? I didn't know that.
I did. And then we get on the Kennedy. I'm like, all right, we're on the Kennedy. And we're in the far right lane. And we're on the Kennedy Edens, and I live off the Kennedy. And I'm like, you're going to want to get over to the left. You gotta get over to the left.
And you're thinking to yourself, he wants to get over, I want to get Uber.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm going to take you somewhere else, Patty. Okay, so that's my biggest fear ever.
So I'm like, you need to get over, and nothing. No response, never moves over. We're now on the Edens. Okay. Never said anything about not listening to my instructions. Uh-huh. Now we're on the Edens, we're in the middle lane, and I'm like, we're going to get off at Foster then. Then you need to get off at Foster. Nothing. No response. Now I start screaming, and he gets over. He gets over, cuts across the two lanes and gets over and gets off. And now I turn on my phone. I start videotaping, and he turns around and tells me that he is deaf. Right. Because, like, that's something you tell a girl when she gets in the car.
Right.
And because if I'm, like, trying to get your attention, I need, as a mom of a child with special needs, I would want my son to also do a job where
it should be a sign.
There should be a sign.
There should be a sign right there. Driver, driver
is
deaf.
Hearing impaired. Yeah.
Or, like, someone told me they've had an Uber driver hand them something that says, I'm hearing impaired if you need, you know.
Like
a notepad to write. Yeah. Now we kind of get into I'm trying to talk to him through the rearview mirror and talk. I'm enunciating, and I'm, you know, so you can see my lips.
So you get in the back seat.
I was in the back seat. I always get in the back seat.
Yeah.
I know that some people get in the front seat. I did it one time, Craig. It's all weird.
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, I have to call the police because I don't understand what's happening. I don't know if I can believe you. So my point to him was that's fine, but then why aren't you following the instructions of the GPS? Your disability doesn't affect what your GPS says. So it was, I actually almost got out at the 16th District Police Station because we were right behind it, and I should have. Like, if that was my instinct, was I now possibly in danger,
right.
I should have just gotten out of the car. It was a friend of mine, I had stuff in my childhood that my friend was like, you must have had some PTSD stuff going on, because I was like, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, am I trapped?
My biggest fear.
And the thing is that, like, you know, so what if they have and I will say this, I've been in cabs where I've tried giving instructions and they've told me to sit back and be quiet.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, I know where
to go. I don't know what to
do. Or when you're like, stop, this is my stop, and they go past. Yeah. I always get that fear. Like, I'm going to have to kill this man with my bare hands.
So I don't know if I don't know what, is it that was I supposed to feel bad because he was deaf? The whole thing was so confusing and horrible and bizarre.
I don't know. I saw this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No. I was just saying, yeah, you should say, you know, you need to tell people.
Yeah. That's what I told him in the video. I sound so bitchy in the video.
You need a sign or something.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's probably why you got a 3.5 rating.
Absolutely. Right. Because he probably never said a word to people or missed, you know, didn't understand directions and then tried to, like, make it up as he went. Never tells people. Because I guarantee you. And so I had a very long conversation with customer critical support. Yeah. I actually had to wait a couple days to calm down because I was so, I didn't even talk about this last night because I really, there was a moment on the Edens where I just thought, well, this is it. This is how I go.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling the guy to go to the left. Yeah. Repeatedly, and it has come and gone. And now I'm telling you to get off at the next exit.
Right.
And that is about to come and go as well. And I started screaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make a joke, but did you ever think about opening the door and jumping out?
Yeah, I did. Not on the Edens.
Well, he was getting off the
exit. No, because I started getting tunnel vision. Like, I started thinking, I was like, well, if I'm going down, I have to get some video of this and get his picture. And
I saw this lady on Oprah once. two things she said, which reminded me of what she said. One, she said that most women are too nice, so they ignore their instinct. Like, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, like, even when they feel something. And two, she said, if you change your mindset to I'm going to kill this person, it changes your... Like, yeah. Okay, like, yeah. You know, if some guy's walking behind you, your instinct is, like, to get scared and you kind of ball up and you walk fast. But if you're just like, if this man touches me, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
You,
I know, you see my posture change?
Yeah, your posture changes and you slow down and you're kind of like, yeah, I dare you. I dare you put your hands
we're
on
doing
me.
This. Oh, no, yeah. I don't want to do it, but I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you just, like, you totally changed. Like, so...
I should have gotten out of that. It was also
felt it.
I
know. You should have jumped down.
I should have jumped down. I'm sorry. That's what I decided.
So did you end up taking it all the way home?
Yeah, I ended up. Like I said, I'll show you before you guys go during the news. I'll show you a little bit of it. But I sound so. I call him darling for some reason, which in like in a condescending way, I guess. Look, darling. You know, if this is what you're going to be doing, you need to let passengers
sort of
know.
In an Ed DeBevics fashion.
Darling. I was wondering, like, why do I keep calling him darling?
Patty leaves us with the creepy Uber story. We're never going to take an Uber.
Well, because here's your choice. One more segment, or you have to stay, and you have to stay all the way for our dance party to 2 a.m. So we have to decide that during the... All right, then stay. You're staying for the dance party.
I'm scared.
More to this 720 WGM. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Erica Nicole Clark, who has written How to Be a Stalker, and that's available on Amazon.com for 99 cents. She's also a comedian performing tomorrow at Comedy, the Comedy Bar, and on Saturday at Blackout Diaries. So go to her. Do you have a webpage you want to share?
I don't have
it. It's okay. Go to Facebook. Go to Facebook and follow her on Instagram, and she'll get you updates for upcoming shows and how to get her book. Comedian Tim Slagle is at Zanies on Monday. Go to Zanies.com for that information. Do you have other?
I got a website, too.
Yeah.
TimSlagle.com. You can spell it like bagel. It's wrong, but it'll still get you there.
I think you should get the website like bagel, just like bagel, www.likebagel.com.
Like a bagel.
Like bagel. And his
He's
series.
He's got a hole in the middle and smells like onions.
No, I mean, poppy seeds are nice. His show's campaign will be running every fourth Monday of the month through the 2016, through the campaign.
Yeah, up until the election. So it's going to be a bunch of Chicago comics and national comics, national headliners, and everybody coming in to do little sets about the political situation and how it moves.
Do you remember, wasn't that one of the ways Rick Hewitt, who owned Zanies, kind of got a lot of notoriety too, was they had a production about Jane Byrne. Do you remember that? That's part of the Chicago, the Zanies Comedy Club history.
I don't remember
I'll have to look that up, but Zanies used to do this show like one night a week about Jane Byrne. Byrne, it was like Byrne Baby
Byrne.
Byrne
Baby Byrne?
Yeah, they did it at Zanies.
I might have heard of that, but that sounds like a Second City review.
It does, but I think they were doing it at Zanies to sort of have a different venue for it. I could be wrong. But I may be misremembering things. I don't know. Now I have to look that up too.
That does sound like a Second City review if ever I've heard one. Yeah.
Look it up. It's Googling with Patty Vasquez. I did give, we were talking before the news about a shared ride experience that I had on early Sunday morning. Really quite, just like, it was like 4 a.m. It was last call at the Oakwood. So I had a scary ride and I shared the audio and video with them and Tim probably hit on.
That's creepy. It was like it was like watching a David Lynch film.
It was so weird. It was, right?
You got the click, 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 click of the blinker in the background and he's just.
It's making me freak out. Anytime a man whistles, it freaks me out. My apartment is right in an alley, and a man, like, this is over the summer. Guys always go there and use the bathroom. You know, I live by a couple bars, and yeah, this guy was whistling.
While he's going.
I could not sleep. Like, I'm watching him use the bathroom, and then he walked away, and I was just like, he killed so many people.
Watching him use the bathroom? Then not technically, right?
No, listening, because it was summertime.
No, I was watching him.
Oh, you were watching?
I was watching him, because he was whistling.
Watching him use the alley, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't using the bathroom.
It's just like a
if he was using the bathroom, it would be, he wouldn't see it.
The original Burn Baby Burn was born 5 years ago on May 23rd, 1980 at Zanies, the Wells Comedy Street Club.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. I moved here in 86, so that was
no,
before
I wasn't accusing you of anything. No, it vaguely reminded, I just remembered that. Huh. So you're kind of, this is
wow.
a wonderful way
know.
To sort of where reinvigorate that political.
I did not know I'm putting a bookend on it.
Where are you from?
What? South of Detroit.
Ah, it's almost your 30-year.
Shh.
anniversary.
Couldn't
of
be. 30 yeah. years. That's impossible.
What's 86? Happening? Isn't there something going on in Michigan? There's what? Isn't there some news in Michigan that people share is sending like bottled water?
Oh,
what
yeah.
Happened?
Basically what happened was Detroit was charging Flint too much for water.
Mm-hmm.
So Flint said, well, we're just going to pull our own water. We got a lake right there. We'll just pull out our own water. And they racked up the price. So Flint said they didn't have it finished. They didn't have the pipeline finished, but they had all the treatment facilities. So they said, well, until we can get the pipeline finished, let's just pull it out of the river.
Oh, God.
Not realizing, well, it would have been fine. The trouble was that river water does not have the lime content that lake water does. And basically what happened is that the lime in people's pipes that protected them from the lead and the old plumbing started to dissolve.
And become part of the water supply.
And then the lead actually, not in the water supply, just in the homes.
In the homes.
The lead started leaching. Yeah, if you had a newer home with copper pipes or PVC pipes, you didn't have a problem. But if you had an older home that was built before, you know, back when people used to paint with lead.
Right.
So anything before like 75, right?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. like that. And so the lead content was elevated.
Wow.
And,
yeah. And there you go. That seems like a. Wouldn't you have like experts that like kind of like, especially working at
I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if you really think of that. That seems like, you know, that seems like a really weird.
No, I would think that people that work at a water filtration center, like the people involved in that, are educated in what it means to draw from a river or from a lake, and what the local content would be. That seems to be part of the process.
You think? I don't know. I don't know. It seems.
It's right to us. Everything. You know what hindsight is, Craig? 2020.
Yeah, it's easy to figure out now.
Yeah, we were talking about Reagan yesterday, that he was hesitant and resisted making Martin Luther King a holiday. And basically one of his arguments was that if we give it to Martin Luther King, then all the other special groups will want to have their own day. And I said, so he was going with the, if you didn't bring enough for the whole class, philosophy.
Yeah. Well, my opinion was that I don't think it should have been a national holiday because it demeans the man. Is that you look at the way Washington and Lincoln are treated on President's Day. It's, you know, they have guys dressed up like Washington and Lincoln going, throwing money in the air and dancing and saying, ooh, you know, come to our sale this week. And I didn't want to see that happen to Martin Luther.
And it hasn't, though.
It has.
Where?
Especially Popeye's Chicken now has a Martin Luther King special.
Yeah. They dress up as Martin Luther King?
Not yet.
I feel like my grandparents would roll over him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you
exactly.
ate that.
You, right. you know, it's American Mattresses has a Martin Luther King sale. You know, how long
They're
before
weird.
They go, you can have a dream too on a brand new mattress.
They do, but it's so funny. Hopefully I can find it on Facebook. It's like comedy shows, like a bunch of them in the South, like there are a bunch of shows on Sunday, like Martin Luther King comedy, and you know, there's like a picture of him like this, and it's like someone else's body, like a rapper's body, but Martin Luther King's face, and it's like,
yeah,
MLK
crazy.
Comedy show, like, no, come on, you can't do this to Martin Luther King, he's not a rapper.
I got an email from stupid.com, I did a blog post about it,
mm-hmm.
and stupid.com had a Martin Luther King sale.
Oh, no.
And one of the things that you can get at a lower price is a Barack Obama toilet paper.
No.
Oh, my God.
So that's why I didn't want it as a national holiday. I think things are treated more reverently when you don't give people a day off.
I also, you know, because didn't they boycott or they had a big problem with Rahm Emanuel having
There were a lot of people who wanted the brunch, like an event on Friday with a lot of pastors and community leaders.
On it. But yeah, and it was something that started.
Right. Well, I think what you mean is what I hear is that Rahm Emanuel was using it like a look, I'm observing Martin Luther King Day
right.
and I'm doing everything right.
On the Friday before?
On the Friday before.
Yeah, because he wants his day off.
Right, he wants his day off. So we'll
good
go, yeah.
Lord, he came home from Cuba 3 days early.
Early for this Laquan thing. Yeah. this little thing that happened in the street on 41st and Pulaski.
It's almost time to dance. Do I read about my pillows
what
before we go
dancing?
To? Yeah, we have to dance soon. I know we've never kept Erica for dancing. Have we made Tim dance before?
You tried to.
Mm-hmm. I tried to. It didn't
Tim
go
don't
well.
Dance.
Oh yeah, Tim don't dance.
Tim don't dance.
We could almost blend that with Patty don't sing and Tim don't dance.
I think I hear a freestyle.
That sounds like it's like a. It sounds but like both a request and a statement, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tim don't dance.
Patty don't sing.
It's
like a country western song.
They made it a blues song, sadly.
Couple.
It does about Patty and Tim. The three chords and the truth. Is that what it is? I can't remember. That was blues. Which one's which? Was it three? Because I always thought three chords and the truth was country music too. Is it the blues?
I think it's like country-ish.
It's both.
Oh, bluesy, country. No, it's not.
I think that Erica's a little disappointed in both of those.
I love blues music.
I did too. We had a great blues singer. We had Angie Brooks in here last night from the Chicago Blues All-Stars.
I don't know who
and
that is.
Chicago Slim. They play at the House of Blues every Sunday night.
Oh,
they were
okay.
Outstanding. Very good.
Not for the gospel.
No, it's like a kind of like a family dinner sort of destination.
And speaking of mattress sales, I could sure use a new pillow. Any recommendations, Patty?
I'm going to do this for a second. We don't have time to discuss the amount of rain in Central Peru. All right, Craig, our guests are very patiently waiting for the song to end, and I think I'm going to put you out of your misery, because there's another full, what would you say we've gotten up to now with Jason Skaggs?
Yeah, this is like a good two and a half minutes left there. Still playing.
I think that video is going to do well. I think that's the first time people have just not moved, not a bit. Esmeralda was even like, you know what, I think I'm going to sit this one out.
I move my shoulders and I sing.
I know you
That's
do.
That's my thing.
What's the loop in her microphone? Just turn it on for her. Erica, do you get enough sleep? Because they're thinking that humans are going to be evolving to the point where we need less, just 5 hours of sleep a night, which sounds pretty good to me.
No.
I know, I should get 7 at least.
No.
What? You want more
sleep? When is the last time that you went to sleep and just like that heavenly sleep where you're like, oh dear God.
Probably the last time you had a MyPillow.
I actually have a MyPillow that don't go flat.
That heavenly sleep where you're just like, oh, and you just.
If I sleep too long, I wake up feeling like feverish. Like I slept too much. Like it hurts. Craig and I both, because. Generally, I get 4 to 5 hours of sleep.
That is terrible.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
so. Bad.
They actually find they've just discovered that people that sleep longer have less incidence of diabetes.
Yep. Yeah, I just saw that.
They're insulin saying it's a limited study. I heard about that from a doctor earlier today who actually who was actually in studio to talk about not in studio but on Rokan's show to talk about this. There's a mosquito in some parts
of the virus
of,
that weird virus.
Yes, I was talking to a woman. From Brazil because she brought her skill set to the United States. I was getting a Brazilian when this woman was telling me that babies, I'm not even kidding you, it was the most bizarre experience. I was
getting a Brazilian listening to a Brazilian?
She was.
Brought her and then, skill set.
She,
in the land of Brasilia where she learns
exactly,
to remove hairs.
Yes, she was very, very talented. But she was telling me that this was 2 months ago. She told me that there was this epidemic of babies being born with smaller brains and that they were having a lot of disabilities. And I immediately went and Googled it because there's this mosquito that's spreading a virus in Brazil. And I think there were two women from Illinois who've come down with the virus.
Yeah.
They'd gone on vacation someplace warmer. And they're saying, if you're pregnant, don't travel to these places. So that was very scary. Exactly. I was more scared of that.
It's going to ruin the honeymoon market for a lot of tropical
Vermont. Vermont is a lovely place to go. Seattle. I say drive the coast. Go to go see the Grand Tetons.
Where'd you go for your honeymoon?
I went to Ireland. As a matter of fact,
that's different.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah, we're both of Irish descent.
I like that.
So yeah, it was very fun. We actually got a chance to go to London. Is it what happened?
Yeah, it's snowing. That's what I was looking at. I'm like, what happened?
I wasn't paying attention. I was dancing.
Yeah, but under an inch. Supposed to be under an inch tonight.
All right.
Supposed to start after midnight and continue through the evening.
I didn't even notice that. I bet Esmeralda's been reporting it all night, and I haven't even.
Too busy dancing.
I mean, sort of.
Dancing. Yes. Sorry, Esmeralda. I apologize. How's the Kennedy?
Why should I tell you?
I'm just kidding. No, I know. It's so greedy and needy of me. Very specific. I actually just found out today that my 95 Honda Accord is done. Dead. No. Well, it could run.
Just today?
I just found out today. Warren told me that it's running, but my mother had, it was her car since 95. I bought it from her last year, and she'd had the brakes done a few times, but it also has a lot of, like,
Your
rust.
Mother sold you a 95 Honda?
I was thinking that. I didn't want to say it out loud, but I'm
wow.
like, your mother sold it to you?
That's there's a salesman.
I need to ask, how much money did you give
$2,000. Yeah, I gave my mom
for a 20-year-old Honda Accord.
How many miles?
Which is probably rolled over.
100.
No,
yeah.
It's probably 1 million and rolled over.
Wait, guys, when did you buy the car?
Last, about a year and a half ago.
All right, never mind. Didn't help me at all. No, I thought that maybe you bought it like 5 years ago. Or,
no.
Yeah.
No, it was 20 years old. She bought for $2,000.
A 20-year-old car.
For $2,000.
Hey, I paid $3,500 for my 20-year-old car. We are bad car buyers on the show.
Bad car
buyers. Pretty late bad car buyers.
You have more time left on your car, though.
I do,
only
yeah.
got 110,000 miles
on it. 3 months.
After 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like $5,000. $5,000 a year?
She didn't really drive to work. She took Metro to and from work. She mostly used it for grocery shopping. We took it like a maybe two long road trips, and that was about it.
Yeah, but that's hard on a car. The grocery shopping. That's the worst kind of miles you can put on a car.
The short distances. One of the mechanics I remember a few years ago told us that asked if she took it and drove it enough. Like, and apparently that did a lot of damage too. But there's a lot of rust. There's a lot of wear and tear on so the brake lines all have to be replaced. And he's like, there's more repairs here than what the car is worth. It's time to move on.
Yeah, that's $2,000. Doing all the brake lines, that's at least another $2,000 job.
You know? That's what...
Your mom can find you another car for that price.
That was her car. She had it.
It's 30 years old, maybe. That's sat in a garage since the 70s.
But I didn't really ever look forward to driving it.
You were blowing up?
I don't know why I didn't turn all my devices off. I apologize.
By the way, real quick, I want to confirm that sleep study you guys had mentioned earlier. It actually was a study at the University of Chicago about catching up on sleep over the weekend to reduce type 2 diabetes risks.
Does it work?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. If you are deprived of sleep during the week, say you get 4 to 5 hours of sleep during the week, and then you catch up with 8.5 hours or more on the weekend, you're back to normal levels. Apparently,
let me see what my calendar looks like.
Just
I don't
one
see
diet, one day a week, and all the chocolate you can eat.
How about like in April? Can I just use April as the
catch up month?
Yeah, okay,
that makes sense.
You pass out
the weekends in April.
What time? You get out of here too. What time do you get home at?
I get home at almost 3, and then what's been happening is Declan sneezes himself awake. He has a cold, so then he's awake and he doesn't want to go back to bed, and he'll start crying. So I hang out with him until Steve gets up with him at 5:30 or 6. Yeah.
And then
I fall asleep around 7:30.
And then you wake up at?
It depends. Some days, like today was 1 o'clock. No, 12:30. 12:30 a day.
So it's 5 hours.
Yes.
And then you've just been going.
I went and did CrossFit and I did the stairs. And then I pulled a muscle when I was trying to do a selfie with
when
you.
When we see you on the news for freaking out at a Sprint store or something like
you
that.
You heard how calm I was with my driver, my shared ride.
No, no. You lectured a murderer who pretended like he was dead.
Possible.
If you had slept 9 hours... You'd have been like, stop.
Look at the mess you've made. Do you know how long it's going to take someone to clean this up, you
Look at me
nasty, filthy murderer?
Look at all this blood.
I did. I was lecturing my possible murderer. Right. I understand that you have a disability. Doesn't make the... I was really...
Darling.
I kept calling him darling. I think that was the weirdest.
Yes, I understand you have a disability. That just is going to make the murder far more creepy.
He's whistling the whole time.
It was weird.
Sir, do you ever clean out your trunk?
Get out of there. If you trust your instincts, is what we're saying.
Yes.
In any situation.
Women always trust your instincts. Think they're being.
Laura Caldwell had this. She's an attorney and an author, and she was out jogging, and she saw some guys approaching, and she was going to cross the street, and she's like, I'm just being judgmental. I'm being, and they mugged her. I'm so sorry, Laura Caldwell. Let's send her that drop right there. She's recovered and she's fine. But it was like, so she felt like, she's like, she felt ridiculous because she was like,
I'm just profiling. Obviously, I'm just profiling. Right. Yeah. Well, see, yeah, apparently she was profiling pretty well.
She felt guilty. She didn't want to judge them. She didn't want to make them feel bad about themselves. Right.